The Fed is exploring what a digital currency might look like in the U.S. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. There are many different types of virtual money these days. Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Dogecoin. But crypto is mostly unregulated, and governments all over the world are getting on board with the idea of starting their own official digital-only currencies. These are called central bank digital currencies, and the Federal Reserve recently took the first step exploring the option of an American CBDC. It issued a 40-page paper outlining both the potential benefits and concerns a government-backed digital dollar might bring. Yahya Fenoussi is an adjunct senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. He explained why the Fed is getting into this now.
There's this expectation that business and commerce will get more digital. And if the central bank doesn't have influence on digital money, there's really a concern that, one, innovation will sort of, you know, go where those advancements are in terms of digital money. And also, if the digital economy is outside the influence of the central bank, then monetary policy is going to be more difficult. So it's really seen on the horizon that we're going to have a more digital economy, and our central bank money needs to keep up with that potential innovation.
According to this Fed paper, what are the pros and cons of the U.S. having its own digital dollar?
Well, privacy is probably the number one concern that comes up when you think about a digital currency, because you have the potential for the government to actually have all of your transaction data. But I think the biggest benefit that the Fed is talking about is really payment efficiency. If you have digital money, which is issued by the central bank, right, you have the ability to have payments that can happen, that can be transacted 24/7. And also the potential for, some would say, financial inclusion. There's the idea that you could create money that is more accessible by more people because you could just use mobile technology. So that's a possibility.
Can you say more about that?
This is where we really get into the theory. So what is proposed is that a lot of people don't have access to bank accounts. You know, there's a sort of a bar for getting a bank account because whether it's ID, whether it's your income. And what a lot of folks are proposing in the digital currency space is that if you made payments easier, if you made wallets, which were maybe more accessible, if you made money, digital money, maybe cheaper to get and to use, that you could expand, you could provide more options so that people wouldn't have to go through the banking system in the same way. But I must say, this is something that is proposed. A lot of this really hasn't really borne out because we don't actually have too many CBDCs yet.
Which ones do we have?
Well, you have small economies like in the Bahamas, actually, that have piloted or have launched a digital currency that's out. But again, that's, you know, a much smaller economy. That's been out for, I think, maybe about a year or so. But the one that most people are thinking about is China. So China's central bank has been piloting a digital currency, its own central bank digital currency, for the past year, but it's still in a pilot stage. Their aim is actually to make it more widely available during these upcoming Winter Olympics in Beijing.
What will it actually take to implement a digital currency here in the U.S. if lawmakers decide that's the direction we want to go?
There's maybe an obscure issue, but one that has to be dealt with is the question of digital ID. That might be necessary to tackle, keeping ID private, but then enabling your ID to be used for different types of transactions. That would probably really help the rollout for a central bank digital currency.
And where are we in the process of a potential rollout of a central bank digital currency here in the U.S.?
We're in the exploration phase, which a lot of other countries are, but we're at the phase of, you know, let's have a discussion. I mean, the Fed paper says pretty clearly, you know, this is to signal to stakeholders that we need to discuss this. Here are the questions that we think about. So we're early stages, even though other countries are much further along.
Yahya Fenoussi is an adjunct senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. And now for some related links. My Marketplace colleague Matt Levin also looked into how the deployment of a digital currency might work in our day-to-day lives. We'll have a link to that story on our website, marketplacetech.org, where we'll also link to the Federal Reserve's full paper. I know the topic sounds dense, but the authors clearly made an effort to keep the explanations as simple as possible. So it's a good primer on the topic of digital currencies in general, plus an exploration of exactly what counts as money. China isn't alone among nations pushing ahead with CBDCs. The Bahamas actually launched its digital currency even before China's. We'll link to a Bloomberg story about how the experiment has gone so far with what they call the sand dollar. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.